Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton.
And I'm Dr. Zach Clinton, and together, we're your hosts. Thank you for joining us.
If you enjoyed today's program and you feel called to help us equip the church to provide mental health care and to help those in need, visit our foundation at aaccfoundation.org. That's aaccfoundation.org. Hey, there you're going to find a little bit more about the impact we're having in local communities to strengthen families and individuals. We're on a mission to help equip people everywhere to improve their relationship with God and the ones they love.
We'd love for you to be a part of our family. Let's bring a message of hope and encouragement to today's generations. Your gift ensures that this program and your station remain on the air. And on today's program, my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton, will be joined by a great guest. So let's get started.
Welcome into Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host, along with my son, Zach. What a joy to have you join us. Today, our subject is sacred parenting, how raising children shapes our souls. Our special guest is Gary Thomas. Gary is the author of numerous books that together have sold more than 2 million copies. They've been translated in more than a dozen languages and won numerous awards. His most recent publications include Sacred Parenting, our subject today, and Married Sex, A Christian Couple's Guide to Reimagining Your Love Life. His writings have established him as a thought leader in the areas of marriage, parenting, and spiritual formation. He's one of my favorites. Gary, what a delight to have you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Tim, it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Gary, I know this. Parenting's not for cowards. Dobson taught us that a long time ago. But if you think about it, every parent listening right now knows whether or not you're close with your kids. It's just wired into us. I can say my daughter's name, Megan, and reflect on her, our relationship, and I know where we're at. My son, Zach, I know where we're at, Gary. God somehow, again, does this down inside of our hearts, and there isn't anything probably more significant, more important in the life of an adult, of a parent, than that connectedness, that bond. But Gary, talk to us about the parent bond and why another parenting book, why this thesis on sacred parenting is so important.
As you know, Tim, I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not a psychologist, a counselor. I don't have your degrees or expertise. So I really wrote this as a pastor to help parents look at how the process of parenting changes the parent. We're so focused on changing our kids. We want them to have good manners. We want to make sure that they become safe. We want to make sure that they're respectable people, that they get a job, that they treat others well. That's all so important. What I wrote the book for was to help parents open their eyes to what if, in fact, God wants parenting to change you and to grow you. God doesn't have grandchildren. We're all children. So God looks at us as his children. And I remember one time talking with a bunch of close friends, and this is when our kids were in their teenage years, and you start to see issues and you kind of wish you would have done things differently and whatnot. I remember saying to them, you know, I wish I could have a do-over. And this is just start now, knowing what I know now. I think I've grown in the Lord. I think I have a little more wisdom. And when I was praying after that, I felt God challenging me, saying, Gary, what do you think gave you that wisdom? What do you think grew your character? It was the process of you being a father. And I knew you weren't perfect when I gave you these kids, but I also knew as you would help them grow, I could use them to help you grow. And it just was an approach of parenting I hadn't seen addressed before.
Gary, they don't come with a manual. I mean, there are a lot of books and stuff out there, but boy, they don't come with a manual. And they're really, hey, they're born into this or through this process, as you called it, labor. And I thought, you know what? That's exactly right. They come in with a lot of moaning and groaning, Gary. But talk to us about, you opened up the book stating that the more time you spent with your kids, the more they seem to open you up to the presence of God in your life and in their lives. How does that compute, Gary? How does that make sense?
I think so many parents have felt this, that when you're holding your child, and I think our firstborn just met this child, right? That's a little different for the guy. She hasn't been growing inside of me. I've just met her, realizing I would take a bullet for her. I will do everything I can for the rest of my life. Her happiness, her welfare is going to be a high priority in my life. And then when we realize that God calls us his children, Ephesians 5:1, that we are dearly loved children. We're not unwanted children. We're not resented children. It just gave me a greater understanding of how God looks at me and being able to receive that. Because I know if I, being an imperfect, selfish, not the best father, still feels all of this for my kids, it's overwhelming to think what God feels for us.
Sacred parenting, how raising children shapes our souls. I just love the thesis there behind it, Gary. But you say the process of raising children requires skills that only God possesses. I thought that was fascinating. Take us into, give us a little theology lesson and why that makes sense to you and how that applies to us as moms and as dads.
It was actually encouraging to me in that, Tim, I don't know that anyone wanted to be a better father than I wanted to be. That sounds arrogant. So I'm not putting, but I just really did want to be a good dad. I wanted to be the best dad in the whole wide world. I was reading books on parenting, daily listener to Focus on the Family, anything I could get my hands on, because I knew I didn't have all the training and all the wisdom and all the education. But then it hit me. The Bible is relatively silent about how to raise kids. It's shocking how little there is about the practical how-tos of parenting in the Bible. There are a few verses here and there. Paul says, fathers, don't exasperate your children. A little bit in Deuteronomy about teaching them the word or whatnot. While there are thousands of Christian books about the right way to raise your kids, there are really just a few Bible verses, and I believe if there was one right way to raise every kid, God would have told us that, because I think his word is sufficient for us. And it struck me that while the Bible doesn't have a lot about how to raise kids, the Bible goes out of its way to emphasize to parents, you need to grow in patience, in kindness, in humility, in compassion, and in courage. And strong verses like 2 Corinthians 7:1 that says, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So I didn't have to be a perfect parent to be the kind of dad I wanted to be. What I needed to be is a parent who was growing in the Lord. Because God says the stress should be on my growing myself. Because we know kids learn by example. They're watching us. They're looking at us. And so I think that's when Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them. Because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. That's 1 Timothy 4:16. So Paul is telling Timothy, grow your church by growing yourself. And I would say to parents, parent your kids by parenting yourself.
Gary, what a responsibility God's given to us. I remember when Megan was born. I remember when Zach was born. Zach, by the way, had meconium and was kind of blue and all that stuff. It was scary when he was born, Gary. I also remember wanting to be a great dad like you. We grew up under Dr. Dobbs and everybody, and I taught people everywhere, hey, time flies, and boy, has it flown. Gary, I remember the day I dropped Megan off in kindergarten. And it was a horrible day for me. I walked away from her classroom, and I drove around, I think, probably for a couple hours, just processing what I had just done. I had released her to someone who probably was going to spend as much or more time with her in a day than I was. And I thought, it was mortifying to me that time had come. Gary, this responsibility, again, and I just want to stay on the home here for a moment, because I think it's the backdrop of sacred parenting and what you're talking about. For whatever reason, God has chosen the home to be the incubator out of which little hearts and hands are fashioned. How many times have we heard those words, the only thing you can take to heaven with you are your kids, the people you love. Seriously, there's nothing else you're going to get to take. Just that. And so this spiritual significance, this connectedness, what we're doing, this sacred parenting thesis is everything in my heart and mind. It's how I look at my children, Gary. It's how I look at my grandkids. I mean, this is serious. This isn't play. And yet we're caught up in a world where we're prioritizing everything else in the world. Our phones are dictating everything. And the very most precious asset in the whole world is seated before us, or their noses are pressed up against the window pane waiting for us to come home. Gary, talk to us.
Well, I think understanding that why the home is so important takes us to our ultimate motivation for being parents. Just as a pastor, I've seen people have kids for some of the most selfish reasons possible. They want to have a close parent-child relationship. Now, I get that. I love the relationship I have with my son and my two daughters. I think that's a good reason, but it shouldn't be the ultimate reason. I've heard some people say, well, I want someone to be there for me in my old age, which hopefully will work, but I see so much parental estrangement that we can't count on that. Some say they feel like having children would save their marriage. They have no clue when they're doing that. I remember one comedian who said, I wanted to have kids so somebody would take on the family name until he became an adolescent, and I had to tell him, son, I don't care what name you give him, just don't give him mine. I think as Christians, we've got to ask ourselves, what is the reason that Christians have kids? What's the superior? Not for what we need, not for what we want. Because if we don't get what we want out of parenting, what I find is then we stop parenting. Because we can't determine how it's going to turn out. And if we did it because we wanted a close parent-child relationship and our child goes through a silent age, we're like, well, forget it then. I'm done with them. We all know it's not a one-to-one. Children raised with loving parents can go bad, and it seems like it's happening at an epidemic rate. But it is true. It's more likely that children are going to follow faith, be responsible citizens when they have a loving mother and father who rightly practice faith. And so when I realized that parenting is about him more than me, I had the motivation. My kid's silence doesn't determine the level of relationship I have with them. I'm going to pursue them regardless of what I get out of it, because God seeks godly offering. He commands me to have children, and he wants me to train them up to follow him.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, host, along with my son, Zach. We're talking today with Gary Thomas. He's the best-selling author, probably read one of his books, like Sacred Marriage, guy who's really dialed into the spiritual formation world. But we're talking about, again, his book, Sacred Parenting. And Gary, in the midst of it, you've got me thinking. I've gone through this journey. You never stop being a parent. I'm a grandparent now. I've got a little 5-year-old and almost 2-year-old granddaughters. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Gary, this watching development all over again has been fascinating to me. And you make this statement up front, we are in the midst of holy teachers. And I thought, that's powerful, because a lot of who I am is manifested in how I respond and parent my children, my grandchildren. And there's a lot being exposed about, you know, and I think this is true for all of us. This is a sacred journey here. And there's a process that's going on that's just, so then you step back from it and you think, okay, what then are my goals? What really am I trying to do as a parent? Is this about comfort or character? Or is this about teaching them how to live and how to face a pretty big bad world? And we talk about the big bad wolf. I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. But Gary, how do they deal with challenge and suffering and brokenness and evil and so much more? Put it in context for us, Gary, because I think we're spinning here somewhere. I love this. I do.
Well, ultimately, the challenge for me was Jesus's words in Mark 9:19, when he said, and this is kind of taking it out of context, but it directs my parenting thoughts. He says, bring the boy to me. Ultimately, the greatest gift we can give God is to pour out our souls to help our children connect with God. Now, again, I've seen incredibly godly parents have their hearts broken over children who don't embrace the faith and may even break the relationship. But as far as it depends on us, we want to be there to set up that loving example. But the key, when you said, you know, there are tiny teachers, what do I mean by that? Is that being a parent has pulled things out of me that I never knew I existed. Raising kids, the way they teach us, it just multiplies that. If I can learn to talk to my kids about sex, I can share the gospel with a stranger. That doesn't seem half as hard as that. If I can learn with my kids, I remember grilling a would-be boyfriend with one of my daughters, then I can challenge a brother that I think is going off into sin. And so really, it's parenting that builds in me the qualities I need to be a more faithful minister before God. They're teaching me by calling me to become something I'm not yet, but I need to be to serve them.
Gary, what I love about this is it's a kind of a missional reframe is what's going on. You're reframing our activities in the context of what ultimately is our goal. What is it that we're trying to accomplish? So when you do that, then you start thinking, oh, if this really is about a sacred journey, then I probably should be listening to the one who is the author of life itself. Let him be instructive here. In other words, spending time on my knees with him, that, by the way, also then really drills into the lives of my kids, because when they witness it and they see it, by the way, it's a tenderness. It's not about religious activity anymore. It's not about legalism. That's not what it's about. It's wiring everything completely different, isn't it?
It is, 100%. And it's just recognizing that we're called to do this because we love the Lord, and they're going to challenge us and to say, what is this child teaching me about where I need to grow? For some women, I don't mean to sound sexist here, we get to choose our crosses when we choose who we marry. If we marry an anxious person, we're gonna have to learn to deal with anxiety. If we marry an undisciplined person, we're gonna have to deal with being late. Those are choices we make when we choose to marry someone. God gives us our children. And I know people talk about nature and nurture, but there is a whole lot of nature in there. Our kids come out, and God often sends the exact kind of kid we need that can push our buttons. So a woman may find out that if I don't get courageous, I've got to learn how to be differentiated and to deal with that. Or a man might need to learn, hey, I know my wife said I'm not the most sensitive of guys, I'm not the gentlest of guys, and I have this super sensitive daughter. And I will lose her if I don't become gentle, as Christ said he was gentle in Matthew 11:29. And so it's recognizing, where do I need to grow to raise the child that God has given me? It's appropriate to train our kids, to discipline our kids, to challenge our kids. I'm just saying, in the process, we have to say, where do I need to grow to raise a kid who has these propensities and these challenges?
Gary, we could go all day. I love talking to you. I really do. And in the midst of it, Gary, my mind, and we're fighting the clock here, goes to what you called is a very boring chapter in the Bible. But it's something that can change your life forever. And Gary, I got it. The whole legacy piece. You know, I think about what we devote our time to. John Trent calls it chasing skinny rabbits, while ignoring our families, our primary legacy. You challenge your readers to think of yourself as a descendant and then as an ancestor. And Gary, as we go to close here, we need to have multiple conversations about this. But Gary, bring us home, reflecting on what it is that God has really called us to do and to be in our families.
I believe ultimately that parenting is about worshiping God by being true to having children, because he calls us to, raising them to know him, Jesus's heart saying, bring the boy to me, and realizing that we're in this process with God, not performing for God, but that God loves our children even more than we do. He's reaching out to them. We're cooperating him. We're praying for them. And I think it's what Paul said to Timothy, that while I'm doing that, I realize that examples are so crucial. I want to purify myself from anything that could cause my children to stumble. Can't be the perfect man I would like to be, but I can be a man who's pursuing perfection. They could see growth from when I was in my 30s and 40s and 50s and 60s and beyond. And then just to thank God that we, as you said, there is nothing else like human experience when with your spouse or through adoption, you bring a child into this world and get to see him grow up and become the person God created them to be.
The only thing you can take to heaven with you are your kids. And I love the story, Gary, and I want to close this way. And when his son was while yet afar off, he saw him. Ah, and he said, hey, my son who was lost has come home. I know it can be a journey. I know it can be frustrating, but what great joy to be connected with those you love and those who love you. And that, most importantly, is our anchor with our relationship with God in Christ. And that's who we want to emulate in this journey called parenting. Gary Thomas, what a delight. Hey, again, congratulations on Sacred Parenting, How Raising Children Shapes Our Souls. It's a book, a must read for every mom and dad out there. Hey, if you have a son or daughter who's moving into this world, get this book for them. Gary, what a delight to have you. On behalf of Zach and our entire team here, we salute you and pray that God will continue to strengthen your voice for such a time as this. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
This is Dr. Shawnee Anderson, and I'm a licensed clinical psychologist who's been in practice for over 30 years. In my clinical experience, one of the hardest parts for someone struggling with their mental health is the very first step, the just reaching out for help part. I understand that asking for help is hard, but finding that help shouldn't be. At Christian Care Connect, the mission is to make it easier to find a Christian clinician or coach who is compatible with you, someone you feel comfortable with, who shares your faith and values. Whether you're walking through grief, battling anxiety or depression, or facing any other of life's challenges, excellent mental health care providers are here to come alongside you with support that is both clinically excellent and distinctly Christian. If you or someone you know is looking for help and healing, we invite you to take that next step today. Go to ChristianCareConnect.com to find a provider within 100 miles of you. For further support or questions, you can email us at contact@ChristianCareConnect.com. A new way to start your journey to wellness and peace of mind.
Don't miss the 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference with a special emphasis on neuroscience and brain health. Coming to the Lowe's Arlington Hotel in Arlington, Texas in September 2026. Featuring world-leading and dynamic experts like Daniel Amen, George Barna, Jack Graham, Sungyung Tan, Sharon May, Kurt Thompson, Jennifer Ellers, Shawnee Anderson, Zach Clinton, Tim Clinton, and more. Join counselors, psychologists, marriage and family therapists, pastors, ministry leaders, and coaches from around the world. Register now for the best savings at nationalaacc.com. That's nationalaacc.com. The 2026 AACC Faith and Flourishing Mega National Conference.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Zach Clinton, licensed counselor from the American Association of Christian Counselors with your Mental Health Minute.
God's Word doesn't always remove the pain, but it will carry you through it. Pain screams, doubt whispers, but God's promises remain steady. Even when you can't see the outcome, His Word proves that the story isn't over. Psalm 119 verse 50 reminds us, "Your promise preserves my life." Clinically speaking, grounding practices like meditating on truth reduce anxiety, soothe the nervous system, and restore hope. When your world feels shaky, His Word becomes your anchor. You see, faith doesn't silence the storm, but it does steady your soul in the midst of it. So choose one promise from Scripture today. Write it down and carry it with you. When suffering comes, declare it out loud and let it reignite your hope.
This has been your Mental Health Minute with Dr. Zach Clinton. For more information, visit aacc.net. That's aacc.net.
Do people ever come to you asking for help, maybe hope? How about prayer?
Do you ever wish you understood the issues better that people are wrestling with? Or how about how to use the Bible more effectively in caring for people? If so, I'd love to get a copy of our Care and Counsel Bible in your hands, featuring 116 topics written by some of the world's best mental health and ministry experts. I think you'll love it. Topics like discouragement, abuse, depression, divorce, anxiety, abortion, and more. So you can learn more about these issues and how to use the Bible more effectively, how to share passages of Scripture with others, maybe even yourself, as you're sitting down over a cup of coffee. You know what I love most about this Bible is that it's so easy to use. You can find right up front an index with subjects, key passages of Scripture, personality profiles, and so much more to go to. So you can use the Bible more effectively in caring for other people. The Care and Counsel Bible right now is retailing for $85. We're going to make it available to you for just $49.99 plus shipping. I think you're going to love it. Hey, for more information about how you can get this Bible right now, go to careandcounsel.com. That's careandcounsel.com.